This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us this morning. A couple of quick questions. Obviously, this is good news for Macon County and Decatur in Region 6, moving up to Tier 1 status in these mitigation efforts. When was this released, and why wasn't it released on Friday?
I don't know, Brian. I was hoping we would get this news on Friday and was really, really disappointed when we didn't move. So, you know, it was like, man, this is not what we want to do here. We need to get our restaurants open. So it just was kind of a surprise. Lisa Gregory actually called me. She said, this just popped up on the website, on IDPH's website, and you wanted to make sure it wasn't a mistake. And then they had a Friday date on part of it. But it was real. The releases started flowing out right after that. So I was able to make a couple of quick phone calls to Todd Mason at the Beach House and Rodney Powell at Robbie's and Leah Stukins at Coney McCain's and the folks at Doherty's to let them know that, you know, we're good to go. And people were pretty excited.
Yeah, and with that comes the obvious caveat that, you know, we needed to do this smart and we need to do this right so that we can stay where we are right now.
Yeah, and what has happened is the state changed some of the metrics, which healthcare professionals have been asking them to do because, you know, they were judging us on the availability of beds. And you always have enough real estate, even if you have to open up, you know, one of your educational rooms. It's a number of people, and what they were able to do was finalize some contracts to bring additional healthcare workers into the state of Illinois. So as we have needs, we can get a hold of the state and say, you know, this region is in trouble. Get us some more healthcare workers. That has been a crucial turn.
And what took so long to get to that point?
Well, I think it's the availability of healthcare workers. Because, you know, in the beginning of COVID, you saw a lot of people from central Illinois who went to the East Coast to help because it was a crisis, and our numbers were pretty under control here because we were in a lockdown, and so we weren't spreading it like it was spreading in New York. And then a lot of nurses became traveling nurses, and they were going to different hospitals around the area. So it's very complicated, but somehow, some way, they have managed to pull this off. So we're very, very grateful.
Okay, we have to be look at this in an honest way, right? Mm-hmm. Regions 3 and Regions 5 went back to phase 4.
Right.
And if you think about that, that's Sangamon County. That's 30 minutes away. So, I mean, the geography of this isn't just sort of big city, big county, small county. It's all over the place.
It really is, and I'm hoping that we are able to move into phase 4 really soon as well, because that allows for more openings. So, and you know, between all these tiers and phases, everybody gets really, really confused. But what we want to be doing is heading back to like phase 4, phase nothing. The one concern, you know, we've got to still be vigilant because that UK strain is probably in Illinois. We know it's in Indiana.
Yes, and so far so good on the vaccines as far as that is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But literally all over the state, for those who think that because Joe Biden is being inaugurated tomorrow that this is somehow the new phrase that I've become aware of is election flu, the idea that they would have Chicago literally in one area and the counties that voted for Donald Trump overwhelmingly in another area just seems silly to me, but yet people still keep throwing that out there.
Well, there's a lot of interesting talk.
but it's good news, bottom line.
It is. It is good news. And the restaurant folks I was able to reach personally yesterday were just over the top excited.
All right. What does this do with the conversation in front of the city council?
Well, we will still have a conversation tonight because we were looking at what do we do with our ordinances. What I'm expecting, and I you know, really have not had time to talk to individual council members about this, but what I'm expecting is we will probably just stick with what we've got, because then if we do hit a problem, we can our ordinances that we changed in August really primarily had us following the rules that are put in place in the health crisis by the state of Illinois. So as far as the city of Decatur is concerned, my suggestion is that we can just keep everything on the books. And if we need to go back to that, it's already in place.
And have you talked to any other of your fellow council members besides Lisa Gregory?
I talked to Pat McDaniel last night when I was in the grocery store. So You know, but we're all just very, very relieved that this didn't come down to a big, you know, the council was pretty split on this, Brian. You know, pretty much right down the middle, those that wanted to open up as much as possible and those that said we've got to, you know, follow the guidelines of the state and get to do what we've been doing.
And when you have those conversations with those individual members, I'm assuming they're bringing just sort of anecdotal what they hear, friends, people that voted for them, people that support them. They're bringing that to the table. But to me, you know, people ask, well, what was so different today versus yesterday? I mean, there are clear metrics that are put forth about how you stay or how you actually even improve and get to phase four. I mean, those things are clearly spelled out.
Additionally, if we abandon and just don't do what we are being told to do by the government, we can put the city in a liability issue, and not just to be sued because somebody gets sick, but where money is concerned, we're coming in. You know, they could, you know, if they wanted to, you know, cut off some of the vaccine. I don't know. But it's like clearly every time we've accepted grant money, part of the language, the legalese in all of these documents is that we will be following the rules of the state.
All right. I need to ask you, because the noise is starting to ripple out there. Senator Andy Menar announced a couple of weeks back that he was going to resign his Senate seat and go to work for the Pritzker administration as an advisor. That caused a lot of conversation about who might fill that seat. The 48th district, we have in Macon County the highest percentage of voters of all the counties in that district. The first thing I thought of was you, and I think there are many other people that probably thought that same thing. Are you planning on throwing your hat into the ring for this Senate district?
Well, Brian, thank you very much. You know, I love being mayor, and this is a higher office than I ever had in my life plan at all, and I have always planned to at least run at least maybe one more time, or as long as people want me in this position. I've got a lot of work I still want to do, things I want to accomplish. But since Senator Menar surprised all of us with his announcement, I've been getting a lot of encouragement to put my hat in the ring. It's an honor if I am considered for this, but everybody wants the state senator to be from their area. So, you know, the people in the southern part of this, it's a big geographic district. It goes all the way into Madison County, you know, which is near, you know, East St. Louis. So the people from the southern part of the state really want to maintain having somebody from their part of the region. Springfield really wants to have somebody from Springfield. So I've been reaching out to a number of people to get their thoughts on, you know, what they would like to see happen. And so I am the application just came out yesterday, so I haven't done anything from an official standpoint, but I very likely am going to submit my name for consideration. And they're going to take applications over the next few days, and then the committee, which is made up of people from all over the district, the Democratic Party chairman in each, and it's a weighted vote, as you mentioned, then they will decide on finalists, and then they will do an interview process and announce who's going to take Andy's seat. So, you know, it's one of those things. It would be amazing, but at the same time, I love what I do. I love being mayor. So, you know, we'll see.
All right, but are you actually going to fill out the application and submit it?
I am okay. Going to do that.
And do you have any idea, as you've had these conversations, just how many people might be considering entering into this contest?
Well, I know that the Democratic Party chairman in Sangamon County is interested. There is a man who ran for state rep against Avery Bourne. I think his name is Chris Wilhelm. He's a veteran. He served in Afghanistan. So there are some pretty high-ranking credentials in there. There's a woman from the Springfield Park Board that is putting her name in. I'm not familiar with her at all. I would expect there would be a lot of people, because to be appointed is a really good way to get into that seat. Now, keep in mind, there's going to be a remap. So the district as it is today is not what it's going to be by the next election. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well as to where those – and I don't know who has that answer for where the lines are going to be. It's probably way too early in that game.
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate it. Have a great day, and thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.